welcome to the Popcorn Junkies. Welcome to our review of the Iron Claw.
The claw is our master.
But it's not that kind of claw. This is the new Zac Efron film. I mean, it's more than just the new Zac Efron film, but I think he's been cast because people will say it's the new Zac Efron film, which isn't, I'm about to talk about, necessarily the biggest selling point for a film. Anyway, we'll get back to that in a minute. But this is The Iron Claw. This is a film from the producers A24. It's directed by Sean Durkin. Now, Sean Durkin has some history. He made Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, which was a rather fantastic indie film, which starred Elizabeth Olsen, about a cult, about her being taken into this cult, about her sort of drifting, dreamy, kind of traumatic, abusive, kind of hallucinogenic, haunted kind of experience of being sort of brought into a cult. Then we had The Nest, the Jude Law, Carrie Coon film. You know, again, we reviewed it. I wasn't entirely convinced by it. But once again, if there was a theme that runs between that and Martha Marcy, and even this film, The Iron Claw, it's a sort of a ghostly, haunted storytelling. It's not necessarily that these are about ghosts, they're not. But there is a haunting at work, or a haunted aspect. It's about the Von Erichs, which were a very famous commercially successful wrestling family, a sort of wrestling dynasty, the Von Erichs, led by their father, Fritz Von Erich, and then the sons, Kevin, played by Zac Efron, Kerry Von Erich, played by Jeremy Allen White, who you'll know from The Bear, David Von Erich, played by Harris Dickinson, and Stanley Simons playing Mike Von Erich. And there were more than just these four. These four are the ones that this film focuses on. But there was a baby Von Erich who died before the film started, who died, I think, around the age of six. And so this is a film about the ascent, the arrival, the construct of a hugely successful wrestling family, created in the shadows of a domineering father. So it's a family story. It's a story about American family, about sport, about the tyranny, if you like, of family tradition, the thwarted ambition of patriarchy, the ability or the attempt to try and realise one's sporting or personal aspirations through the exploitation, if you like, and the lives of your children. I mean, the ultimate and pushy parenting. Before we get going, wrestling. Wrestling, I find it a really sort of troublesome sport because it's 50% theatre and then it's sort of 50% sport. And I think the problem I have with the whole wrestling kind of world is it's very hard to distinguish between, you know, what is genuinely dangerous and about prowess and what is actually quite camp and just done for kind of showmanship and entertaining a crowd, both of which are kind of valid. But I always remember realizing this or thinking this when I was a kid and we used to watch, you know, Giant Haystacks and Big Daddy hurl themselves around sort of the ring. I used to think, I don't feel like they're taking this seriously. And for me, this is weird. That was always a problem. I wanted them to take it seriously. I didn't mind them being camp. I didn't mind them being kind of, you know, showman or show-offy. But I wanted to believe that what they were doing was real. And it never looked real, you know, when you sort of body slam and they hit them down and it always seemed a bit choreographed and a bit eggy. And I think that issue with wrestling, I mean, let's not beat around the bush, the WWE, Worldwide Wrestling, whatever it's called, is massive. It's a huge empire. You know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson came out of it, Dave Batista came out of it, John Cena, you know, it's a massive industry. But do you have that problem? I've always struggled with, well, how can we? And I think that problem of performance, pantomime almost, versus sportsman, Olympiad, prowess, and the issue of not really knowing where that line is between the two. I mean, because the difference is with boxing, there's showmanship outside the ring, but once you're in the ring, it's dark, it's twisted, it's brute force, it's about winning, and there's a winner. It's about knocking out, it's about hurting, genuinely hurting. Whereas with wrestling, it always feels like it's not genuinely about hurting, it's about entertaining. That, for me, was one small problem that was a real problem for me in the kind of sort of signing up to even the idea that a family could be this driven, because at the end of the day, it's not just about whether they could run around and actually hit and hurt people and successfully sort of, you know, destroy them in the ring. It was about were they bringing in the crowds and all that kind of stuff. So you know, that issue is always there. And it's not really an issue that's kind of tackled in this. This asks you, I feel this film asks you to really take on and accept that the wrestling ambition of this family is a sporting ambition solely. And I felt I could have done with a little bit more about the showmanship. I mean, they do touch upon it. Zac Efron, you know, principally this film follows Zac Efron, mainly because, spoiler alert, he's kind of the sole most intact survivor by the end of the film. It's a true story. I didn't know the story of the Von Erichs going in, and I would advise in many regards, if you don't know the Von Erichs, don't read up about them and then go and see the film, because it's an incredibly arresting story just in terms of the nuts and bolts of what happened to each member of the family and how it went along. And I think, in a weird way, me not knowing what that story was did a lot of the heavy lifting here, because there was that sort of almost documentary-esque, oh, this is a real story, novelty factor of going, oh my God, really? Wow, that happened. So in terms of believability, it's quite unbelievable that all this happened to a family. So the challenge, I think, of making a film about all of that is overcoming that sort of the theatrics of wrestling and turning this into a serious kind of story about ambition. And this is really, at its heart, a film about the darker psychological place of a family in the grip, if you like, of a patriarch's ambition. This is all about four boys and a wife, obviously his wife, four children, trying to deliver on their father's unrealized ambition and unrealized dream, which is, come what may, he will win the world heavyweight wrestling title. He will bring that belt into this household. And he doesn't really care which one of his children does it. They are all pawns in his game, and they can be pulled upon and used and put sort of first and then second. You know, they even sit around the dining table and he talks about his favourite being this one, and then his next favourite this one, and his least favourite this one. So you've got all that kind of sibling kind of rivalry. You've got all of the kind of awful sense of rejection and competition that could creep in there and what have you. As I say, the central character that this kind of focuses in on is Zac Efron's character. And I have to say, let's talk about Zac Efron for a minute. I haven't been wholly convinced by... he's always solid. I've never not liked him. I really liked him in... Was it Baywatch? Was he in the film version of Baywatch? I'm not entirely convinced by him. I haven't been entirely convinced by him. And I think, just as a front-end judgment on his performance in this, I think this is one of his best performances yet. I think he throws in a really layered, subtle performance within a character who is within a family that is anything but subtle, which I think speaks to another aspect of this film that's both a contradiction, but also a success in the way that it deals with it. A huge difficult hurdle is that, you know, this is an ordinary American family. This is I suppose you would say, at one point before they start to kind of make money from wrestling, a working class, blue collar family, you know, ordinary American family. Their business is wrestling. I was reminded of, you know, how you get families that go, we are a circus family, or we are, you know, they're a showman family. This is what we do. This is our stock in trade. One of the boys, the Jeremy Allen White character, he's about to become an Olympiad. He's a discus thrower, and he's going to go to the Olympics, but then world politics mean that it's going to happen in Russia, and he doesn't get his opportunities. It's all about thwarted sporting ambition. You know, which is a major thing. It's a major part of American culture, sport, and the family. You know, he has his thwarted ambition. He can't go because of, obviously, you know, Jimmy Carter, the president, says, we're not going to Russia, we're boycotting the Olympics. So his whole fucking career goes, and he comes back into the family fold. And then you have these four boys all vying for their dad's attention. Zac Efron is kind of the favourite. He looks like he's the one who might be the one that brings home and delivers the goods. But he takes a bad injury on his back, and he can't quite deliver, and so you can feel his frustration. And what they managed to do, or certainly what I felt Zac Efron managed to do, is this is a family that in real life will have had no psychoanalytical understanding of what they were going through. They wouldn't have been able to articulate difficult thoughts. They wouldn't have been able to challenge their dad. There's a lot of yes sir, no sir. You know, when the father comes out and goes, hey boy, to Jeremy Allen White's character, you're gonna try and do well in the ring too. And when he also says to the really sort of the musician, the boy who's the least likely physically to be able to be a wrestler, and he says to him, you're going to go in the ring too. And poor old Stanley Simons, the young boy, goes in the ring, gets injured, has a brain injury because he goes into a coma when they try to recover his repair his back, and his whole life has changed. And he goes through, spoiler alert, he ends up killing himself. So it's just like, oh my God, this father, tyrannical aspirations of this father, literally destroy the body of Zac Efron, destroys the ambition of the discus throwing Jeremy Allen White, who himself, through the pressures of trying to perform, does something so catastrophically sort of irresponsible that he loses a leg. And then you have another boy who goes into a coma, experiences brain damage because of an injury, and he shouldn't have been in the ring because actually he was a musician and he just wanted to be a musician. And you look at them all, and then you've got Zac Efron, who's the kind of last final option to possibly deliver on the goods. But he's kind of the oldest, or he's certainly the most injured, and he can't quite get there. He's always got ice packs on his knees, and his back's always out. And what they're trying to do, they're all going through extraordinarily complicated, traumatic, emotional kind of narrative arcs. But of course, none of them would have the language. And I think what this film does really well, and I think what Zac Efron manages to pull off incredibly successfully, is in the head and heart of a character who wouldn't have the language to articulate all of these complicated kind of emotions, he performs a sort of naive working bloke who hasn't seen much of the world and only knows wrestling, hasn't even had sex, so that when he comes up against Lily James and she sort of is shocked, she goes, "You're a virgin," and he's a virgin. And so he's naive. His world has been sheltered. He's lived only within the kind of confines of his dad's vision for him. He manages to exude all of the emotional complexity and depth and regret and rejection and competition and thwarted desire and sporting prowess and a realization of his limitations in terms of his body and his age and his regret for his brothers and his desire to protect them. He expresses all of this in a very sort of, what's the way to describe it? In a non sort of intellectual, in a non-therapy speak way, which is really hard. It's really hard to get that amount of layered kind of characterization when he's actually principally walking around looking buff, and incredibly kind of big jaw, and throwing people around, and in a sporting family. So I think this film did something quite clever, deceptively simple and complicated at the same time, which was tell the story of an ordinary family by showing them doing the ordinary things that they did, which had extraordinarily tragic consequences, but it didn't then try to give them all extraordinary understandings of it. We just saw it happening to them. And in a weird way, that's both the kind of that played to kind of Zac Efron's strength, because he's, you know, I think Zac Efron's star image is beefcake, isn't it? Sort of pretty beefcake. I mean, he does look incredibly stuffed. I mean, he's so ripped. I mean, their bodies are just like, my God. I have to say, as ever, I struggle with the hair and makeup. It feels like as soon as you go for any film that's trying to kind of take you to the 70s or take you to the 80s, like The Holdovers, it's like there's no authenticity. Of course, you're going for period and it's a period drama, but it always screams out because it's like an added on hair. It never looks like a real haircut. So I have to confess, most of this film, I was struggling to forget the fact that Zac Efron's hair looked like Lou Ferrino. Is it Lou Ferrino's hair, the original Hulk from the 70s, which was just kind of like, you know, stuck on top? And it was distracting because actually he was giving us a really intense, you know, simmering kind of portrait. And what was interesting as well, for saying it's all wrestling, it's all throwing, it's all physical violence, you've got a really sort of patriarchal dad, there was real sensitivity and tenderness between all the brothers. There was a real softness and an ability to read each other without, again, putting it into words, which I thought was really, really masterful of all the performances. They managed to be emotionally connected and at other times emotionally disconnected. And they emotionally reached out to each other, like the moment Jeremy Allen White, at a point when he's so depressed and he's down and you don't know what's going to happen to him and something tragic happens to him too. And the way he calls Zac Efron and then Zac Efron calls his dad, and, you know, there's this chain of command, and you can see Zac Efron seeing everything kind of going wrong, and you can see these boys are trapped in this web of hubris. You know, the father wants this victory and he doesn't care, you know, even at the point that Zac Efron says he needs help, he's going to kill himself, essentially, though he doesn't say that. He says he's in a bad place. And the dad says, well, he called you, like, you sort it out. Brutal, brutal, brutal. Overarching the whole film is this concept or idea of the curse of the Von Erichs. There's the youngest brother, who's the eldest brother in a sense. So the eldest brother in the family has died before the film, because he died when he was 6 or 7. So there's already a loss. And then you have all of the damage and the loss of these characters within the film. And of course, Zac Efron's character, he kind of gets close to Lily James. They have a baby together. You know, again, as I say, there's that naivety to their relationship. It's a sweet... Lily James is excellent in this, as the sort of much more confident... I thought she was going to be sort of untoward and kind of be leading him astray, but no, she wasn't. But he can't go with the relationship. He almost can't let go and go with her. And he stays away from sleeping in the same house as his wife and his baby because he's worried that the curse might infect their baby. They don't even give it the surname Von Erich when they go and register it, you know, register its name. And so this idea, going back to this idea with Sean Durkin's other films of the curse, the nightmare, you know, the haunting, the being haunted, all of that is helped by what Sean Durkin does in all of his films, the director, which is it's color, obviously, but it's a really muted color. He's interested in almost shooting a lot of dark, naturally lit interior scenes. There's a lot of scenes in the house which are kind of underlit, and he almost pushes the contrast on the shaded areas so you get more of a kind of grain. He almost lights the dark areas by pushing just the gain. You know, when you're sort of doing, I don't know, when you're doing a photo on Instagram and you push the brightness and it suddenly goes a bit faded. There was a real sort of august kind of, you know, dark kind of shadowy, murky, quite depressing looking feel to a lot of the interiors. I think if I had some issues with the film, some of my kind of criticisms of the film would revolve around really the parents. I think he was a very dark and demanding and domineering character, the father. And the film starts with some of his backstory, his sort of, you know, his attempt to win wrestling fights and win the belt and you know, sort of bring it home, if you like. I mean, I could have done with a bit more about why he was so driven. I mean, there was a moment, a really nice moment around one of the dining table scenes where they're all sitting as a family, and the wife, the mother, says something along the played by Maura Tierney. She was great. Maura Tierney plays the mum, Mum Von Erich. She talks about how when they met, the father, this tyrannical father, this kind of pushy father, was into his music. I think he might have played a clarinet or something. And she said she gave us a sense that he was kind of almost poetic and that there was a more creative aspect to him. And he turned around and go, yeah, and I discovered there was no money in it, so I went into sport. It was interesting that there was almost, I felt there was almost a parallel there between, you know, that namby-pamby world of artistry. And of course, one of the boys, played by Stanley Simons, one of the Von Erichs, is into his music. You know, he wants to play guitar. His ambition isn't in the ring, but he's too scared to be able to kind of deliver on that and go with it. And his father's like, well, there's no money in that, boy. And is that a serious job? You've got to get in the ring. And you know, they fight as a family and all that. And there's a really moving moment that as the boys essentially, as the Von Erichs slowly die or get injured and aren't in the ring, you get this one shot, which I thought was particularly well played by Zac Efron, where he's on his own and he's almost like a toddler wanting to be involved, wanting to be tagged to get into the ring, but no one is coming to him and he's kind of left out and he's on his own. Zac Efron broke my heart in this film, actually. He really exuded, not Little Boy Lost, he exuded a man who wanted the best for everyone and wanted to deliver on what his father wanted. He didn't want to let anyone down. And it wasn't in a poor me sort of way. He didn't feel sorry for himself. But there was a sensitivity and a deep, deep heartache to Zac Efron's character that he managed to give us, not through the lines that he had to deliver, but just through his observation, if you like, of his own limitations, his own failures, seeing what his dad was, but not really even necessarily judging his dad too bad. There weren't any of those classic moments where he went in and beat his father up because he resented him or anything like that. They all kind of did as their father said, and yet he managed Zac Efron to carry that. And I wondered whether he was carrying a little bit of that kind of real life thing of he's seen as this one type of thing, but actually deep down, he's something much more. And so, you know, I for me, this is a real high benchmark moment for Zac Efron. I'm not suggesting for a minute this is anywhere near to the sort of standard of the kind of Raging Bull portrait of masculinity, but this is a portrait of patriarchy in a family, American family patriarchy writ large, the American dream. This is the American dream. This is the contortions and the distress and the damage and the payback and the curse and the destruction that can happen when you go wholly in pursuit of an American dream for all the wrong reasons. And I go back to the word hubris. This is the father's single-minded ambition for himself essentially sacrifices his entire family. So I could have done with a bit more about his backstory. I could have done with a lot more of the mum. There was one particular moment where she was so powerful, I think when she was getting ready and waiting to go to one of the boys' funerals. Harris Dickinson's in there as one of the boys. A number of the reviews, I'm a big Harris Dickinson fan. I'm not necessarily convinced he was the right casting for his character. He was the first Von Erich boy, in a sense, to kick the bucket, in a sense. Jeremy Allen White was really good because he had that capacity aspect about him. He was almost like a mule or a donkey. He was like an animal. He was like a farmyard animal who just like, yes, sir, I'll just do as you say, sir. Expert at what he can do physically. And, you know, he's a stubborn. He wanted to push and push. And even when he's lost a leg, he's still trying to fight on a stump. You know, he's putting on a prosthetic leg and he's still trying to work out in the ring. And Zac Efron's even saying to him, come on, man, you can't do this. We can't do this. And you feel them all striving, literally hiving parts of their bodies off to try and deliver on this dream that their father has for them all. So in essence, this is a film that really speaks to the idea or proves that the pursuit of tradition or the belief of tradition or the belief that this is what we do as a family. And I think lots of families have that, don't they? Whether you have family businesses or acting dynasties, you know, there's that idea, you know, which, okay, it's one thing if you all in the family say, oh, actually, I want to do this. But there's this, you know, sometimes families can be really kind of, you know, what's the word, blinkered about both the education. I went to boarding school, you go to boarding school, I did this, you do this. And so it gets passed on and passed on and passed on. And this is really a film about the dangers and the ways in which tradition, family tradition, the ways in which inherited attitudes, all in service of what? What are they in service of? Who do they serve the most? And this kind of proves that tradition is not necessarily a good thing, that sort of American dream is a contorted fool's gold. And it might be your American dream as a dad isn't necessarily the same dream that you should expect your children to have. And so for me, this is less a film about toxic masculinity, though it is all about toxic masculinity too. But it is about the toxicity of ambition and patriarchy and pushy parenting. And I think we can all think of those parenting figures or those grandparenting figures who you feel thought you should do this or thought you should be like this, and for whom you will only ever be really a disappointment because you haven't, I don't know, become an accountant or become a bank manager or something like that. And I think, you know, this film speaks to all of that. It's also shot through with there's a real darkness and tenderness to it. It didn't work in all areas. I mean, I think the ending of the film was a little bit too twee, a little bit too sentimental, only relying on a crying Zac Efron looking at his family, if you like. For me, the biggest sort of headline with this is a film in which I really enjoyed, the first film in which I really enjoyed Zac Efron's performance. If I was to score it, I'd probably give it about 76 out of 100. 76 out of 100.